Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Tonight, we want to look into the Bible as we discuss together in continuation of our study of the book of Nehemiah, chapter 5, which we started on Sunday when we asked the question, how well do you care? So tonight, I want us to be as practical as possible as we share and as we hear what God is saying to us. Christianity, being a Christian, means that the way we live our lives, the things we do, the way we relate with one another, is the way the Lord will want us to relate with one another. You know, the Christians or the children of Israel, in the book of Acts, when they were called Christians, they were not the ones that gave themselves Christians. Were they the ones that said, we want to be known as Christians? Were they the ones that said so? No. The people just studied them, and they saw that they were like little Christs, and they started calling them who? Christians. And we don't have to preach. A songwriter said, your life is a book before their eyes. They are reading it through and through. Say, does it point them to the cross? Do others see Jesus in you? And the chorus says, let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. So it is the Jesus that people see in us that will really point them or bring them to the Lord. So as we continue in the book of Nehemiah, we already know that this chapter 5 was talking about the people, as they continued in the work, they had to stop because there was a need. The people who had been, some people had been in the land who didn't go to exile, and some people had returned, and those who were already there, established, were doing well or doing better than those who had returned. And they were shortchanging, they were cheating their fellow brothers. And the Bible says that they shouted, there was an outcry. They shouted to Nehemiah, and Nehemiah actually paid attention. They had cheated their brothers, they had deprived their brothers and sisters, or they had oppressed their brothers of the things that they needed. And I want us to interact, like I said. And I'll be asking questions, and I will be checking the Bible, but we'll also be interacting with one another. And we'll be relating this issue of oppression to many areas of our lives, as couples, as church members. How do we oppress one another? You know, what do we do to show others or to make others feel like they are lesser than human beings? When I see my brother, do I see him as a family? I want us to remember something that we mentioned, or the Lord pointed our attention to on Sunday. The fact that as we come together, whenever we come together, whenever we are seated together in this congregation, we must see whoever is around us, every other person, as our brother and our sister. And we must relate with them in that manner. We must be able to bear one another's burden, like the Bible says, that we should bear one another's burden. So we must be able to pay attention to the person sitting around us. Okay, so my first question is that, in what ways? I hope we have the microphone. Okay, in what ways are we oppressing, or do we oppress one another as couples? Let's start from there. I want us to be as practical as possible. Do husband and wife oppress one another? Yes or no? Yes or no? So now, I'm not saying this is your family. I'm not pointing to any family. I just want us to be as general and as practical as possible. So do husband and wife oppress one another? Hello? It happens in families, right? So it happens in families. So how, or what are the things that go on in families that show that there's oppression? Or somebody is taking advantage of the other person? What are some of the things that go on? Yes, who wants to speak? Before we check the Bible. Anyone? Okay, Mrs. Amakri.
When you don't want the other person's voice to be heard.
Okay.
Like you, they don't have a voice.
Can you explain? You are speaking now. So if you are so that means you shouldn't speak. Is that what we are saying? Let's be so that little ones among us.
Sometimes you speak, but your opinion does not really matter. It's always one person deciding. It's supposed to be a two-way thing. We discuss and decide together. But sometimes it's only whatever I want. Apology to the men. Maybe I'm the head of the family. I'm just using that as an example anyway.
Thank you. So, okay. So, and some ladies are the ones that have the final say, you know. So it can be this way or that way. But I think she's making a point. We take advantage of one another when I think that my opinion is the final, or when I think that I know better than my spouse. You know, sometimes we think that we know better than our spouse. And sometimes there are little of subtle ways that we do these things. We just take advantage that I know this thing. Some of us, until we have a proof, we don't believe that we are wrong. Isn't it? So that is one way. What's another way? What's another way? Yes. Our sister here.
Okay. When the wife is the breadwinner in the family, he oppressed the husband. Yes.
Automatically?
The wife.
Automatically? Not automatically. Sometimes. Uh-huh. So, when some women are the breadwinners, they oppress. They can tell the man to sit down, and he must sit down. So, but it's not automatically. Some women are the breadwinners, and you won't even know. You won't even know. They allow the man to lead and all of that. Okay, that's another thing. What's another thing we do? We do to show that we are taking advantage of our spouse. Let's speak. Husband and wife. Don't worry, because we are saying it doesn't mean that it's happening in your family. I just want us to be practical so that our young ones can learn and we also can learn from one another. Any other one? Okay, there's a hand here. No microphone. Can you say it out?
Okay, so I said when one of the spouses has higher degrees and does not make any attempt to make his or her spouse grow along with him or her, and even when he or she makes that attempt, he or she suppresses, you know, squashes it. So it's oppression. So as you are growing, make your
spouse also to grow. And I want to say that many times in this area, many times is the man that does that, or is the men that do that. They are moving on. In fact, the excuse for some men is that I need this to improve my certificate, to improve my opportunities, to do this. But so they continue to do short courses, long courses, and the family, whatever, is going into it. Then when the woman wants to go, the man will say, I'm not saying you shouldn't go, but you remember we'll pay children's school fees. You remember we'll do this. You remember you do that. And the woman will say, it's true. So she will sit down. And the man will continue. So the woman that had a OND when they got married, she will continue with her OND. And the man has had a master's and trying to get a PhD. So many times, it is the men that are guilty of this. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Any other one? Okay. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, there's a saying that the woman is the owner of the house, but generally you find that with some families, the man's family is not allowed to come around. Mm. Meanwhile, the wife's family is allowed.
Can come in any time.
Mm. Can come in any time.
That's true. That is correct. Many times the man has to give the woman long time notice that my mother will come. I don't know what is it, what's she coming to do? But our own people can come in anytime. In fact, our own people can walk into any room, anywhere, and the man's people, they have their boundaries where they mustn't get to. I think that is a form of oppression. You see, these are things that we take for granted. But these things actually affect us and affect our relationship. Because until the people shouted to Nehemiah, did he know? He didn't know. And so until God points our attention to some of these things, we will just continue to live and think it is okay. We won't know that our partner is not really happy. Okay.
When we allow our own family, maybe husband's family or wife's family, to rule our house for us, that one can cause a lot of oppression, and the woman will just be looking. Thank you.
All right. So, and sometimes they don't have to live with you to rule your family. They don't have to. You know, I heard the story. I knew a man, let me not say, long time ago, who, whatever he needed to do in his family, the mother must have a say. And so every time he would tell the wife, they want to buy a new carpet, say, my mother said we must buy color blue. You want to do this? My mother said. You know, that can really... And sometimes it's the woman. It's the woman's people that determine what goes on in the family. Let us check ourselves as married people. Who are we fair? You know, are we fair? God will help us. Okay. There's a hand there.
One other area I see is keeping secrets.
Thank you. When you keep secrets. And you know, this secret we say we are keeping from our spouse, we are not keeping it for our friends. We are not keeping it for our family members. Our mother, our parents, our brothers, they've had things that we want to do, but our spouse does not know. Is that okay? Is that good? You know, sometimes a man will be hearing what is happening to his wife from outsider. Is that good? Or a woman is hearing what the man is doing from outsider. That is not good. That's a way of oppressing or taking advantage of or making that person feel lesser than a human. Because the moment you do that, your spouse will begin to ask himself or ask herself, why can he not tell me? Why can she not tell me? Am I not responsible enough? Am I not important enough to know this or to have this information? Any other one? The last one? Okay, two more.
When a woman beats the husband, or the husband beats the wife.
Okay. Thank you for saying when a woman beats the husband, because there are women who beat their husband, so that is oppression. If you raise your hand, any man who raises his hand to beat the woman, is a madman. Because the Bible says that you two have become one. So, it's only a madman that beats himself. So if you have been beating your wife, know that something is wrong with you. I hope there's no one here who has done that, who has lifted his hand to hit his wife. What would be the offense for a man to raise his hand against his wife? And or for a woman? If a woman does that, that woman is a strong woman. It's not every woman that can do that, but only strong women can do that. Yes, sir.
Well, there are some women who have this philosophy that what is mine is mine and what is yours is ours.
Did you hear that? The women believe that what is mine is mine. What is yours is ours. Is that how it should be? Because I saw some people saying, what is wrong with that? Yes, I saw, what is wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with that? Men, is there anything wrong with that? Women, is there anything wrong with that? So what is mine is mine. What is ours. No, what is mine is ours. What is ours. So whatever, the Bible says the two shall become one flesh. That becoming one is not just in the body alone. in every area. What belongs to him belongs to you. Don't say my car, my this, my that, my house. It is our car. You don't say my children. They are our children. Hello. You know, Oyinbos, listen to white men, they will say our children. But African man will say, they will say my son. Especially if that child has done very well. That's my child. And most times it's the women that have done the, let me not talk, so that they won't say I'm okay, Sister Shangowawa.
Please, sir, let me say something, man.
Sorry, sir, let me recognize her first, then I'll come back to you. Sorry, let's quickly, so that we don't break the flow.
How about either father or mother disgrace themselves in front of children or visitors or of a family members?
That's a big one. When you know, one thing I we are not doing marriage talk, but I'm just trying to be. We'll go to another level after this. When we husband and wife, you begin to treat your spouse in front of visitors as if, especially our children, they see us when we talk to our spouse, you talk to your wife anyhow, you talk to your husband anyhow, I don't think that is right. That is not right. Let me not say I don't think. Most times when I watch, especially Yoruba movies, when I just watch or watch movies, and I see a woman shouting, I said, do women do this really? Do women talk to their husbands like this? And somebody say, you don't know. But I don't know if Christian women should talk to their husbands like that. And I don't know if a Christian man should talk to his wife like that. Many of us, the way we will not talk to our children, or the way we didn't talk to our children when they became teenagers, we continue to talk to our wives like that. So when you are talking to that woman, and you are talking to her as if she has no sense, because sometimes you won't tell her that you don't have sense. But when you give her a response, it's as if, you know, there are so many things we do to oppress, to abuse. You don't have to beat physically to abuse a woman. Your words are enough to crumble and make the person feel lesser than a human being. So we need to be careful. I hope God is helping us to understand his mind today. So that we don't look far in his Nehemiah's time. Rich people, we are oppressing the poor in our family. Husband, are you oppressing your wife? Wife, are you oppressing your children? Parents, are you oppressing your children? Because we have not looked at children. No. Children, are you oppressing your parents? Abi, don't children oppress us? Some children oppress parents now. They want to be the commander. So they give us, this is what I want. If you don't want, and then you say, okay. Is that not oppression? Your parent that is walking here and there, you are still giving him rules. The Lord will help us. So, Baba, let's take you. And that will be the last.
Please, I want to talk about these children providing for their parents. A child could live in Lagos, yeah, and send some money for the parents at home. The man will take the greater part of it. For instance, if the son sent 1,000 naira, the man may take 800 naira and then 200 for the wife.
That's oppression.
Yes.
Okay. All right. In fact, some who even let the wife know that something came in. You are talking of sharing. They won't know. They won't know. They will be the ones to spend everything. I saw a message somewhere of there was this family WhatsApp group. Father, mother, and son. I don't know whether you saw it. It was a joke anyway. The mother forgot that it was the family WhatsApp group. So she was chatting the son. She said, I've asked your daddy to send 50,000, that you need 50,000. That, you know, from that 50,000, I will take 30,000. My organization in church, they have a party. We have a program, and I need 30,000. Your daddy has refused to give me. So I'll just send you 20,000, and I'll keep 30,000. But if your daddy has school, tell him that's the... So the son said, but mommy, this is the family WhatsApp group. The moment that said, how do I delete it? Then the father just put, you know, like a sign to show that, look at your life. So, is that not oppression? When we are not open to one another, then we are oppressing one another. I think, we are not doing marriage today. Wow. Okay, husband and wife. I hope you have the same thing to say.
When we use our bodies as bargaining tools.
Wow. Okay. So when we understand, when the woman said, there's no journey this night, there's no trip this night, you think, you want to travel, Where are you traveling to? Because you forgot what you did yesterday. Enter bus, let's see now. You understand? Oh, yeah, what?
Praise God.
Amen.
Mine is, most times when the children don't do well, or there are issues with the children.
Yeah.
The mothers, most times, mothers are emotionally oppressed.
By who?
Because the fathers will say, your son is not doing well. Obviously, it is your head and all that. And a mother, being a mother, will not want to allow that child to just go. She'll be the one that will try to make that child come back to do well. Okay. But when a child does well, you will see the father saying, that is my son.
All right. God will help us in Jesus' name. Okay, so let's quickly see some passages. Ephesians 5:33, 1 Peter 3, verse 1 and 7, Malachi 2, verse 16. So Ephesians 5:33 says, however, each one of you also must do what? Must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must do what? Respect. So the moment you are not doing this, if you don't love the man, and you don't love your, if we don't love one another, and we don't submit to one another, there is problem in that family. Because when there is no love, things cannot move the way they should. That is a means of oppression. You have married that person, but you are not showing anything to let the individual know that you love him. There's nothing special. You are not looking out for one another. And then the wife, when he says one, you say ten. You say, me. You cannot. You think you know how to say this. You know how to reply. So anytime we fail to love, anytime we fail to submit, we are showing oppression. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. It says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husband. You know, many times we submit to others, we don't submit to our husbands. And many times, like we know, it is hard for women to submit to their husbands. It is hard. It is easier for women to love. So the Bible didn't say women love. It's more difficult for men to love. So the Bible says men love. And the illustration I always give, we know that naturally speaking, women love. And that's why a girl will play with a doll. But a boy plays with what? Football. The reason why some people are not in church today is because there's a match going on. Isn't it? So the Bible says we must love. So when we fail to obey the rules of God, then we are oppressing the other person. And that is when we can talk anyhow and behave anyhow to one another. We don't mind how the other person feels. Malachi 2 verse 16a. Malachi 2 16a says, I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. And I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garments, says the Lord Almighty. So when a man is violent to his wife, when a man gets to the point of whatever happens, you can go your way. That is an oppression. That is an oppression. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. That as couples, we will live just the way he wants us to live in Jesus' name. The second question is, in what ways are we taking advantage of one another in the church as members of the same body of Christ? What are we doing to take advantage or to oppress one another? And you may ask, do we oppress one another? Let's try and discuss. Is there oppression in the church? Can there be oppression in the church? Yes, sir. Yes. In what ways? Somebody behind.
Like when a new member make an attempt in the church, someone may say, ah, that is a new person, or this is making his second day in the church.
What kind of attempt are you saying?
Maybe there's a quiz or a competition, something like that.
Okay. All right. So when a new member is seen as a visitor, is not accepted, something like that, is not seen as a member of the body of Christ. All right. Any other way? What else do we do to show that? Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
When we don't encourage the younger ones under us, maybe we are leaders of groups, and then when there is work, most times, instead of us spreading it for others to learn, when we try to monopolize a group,
all right,
everything is us, not training others.
Okay.
Because at times we might not be available, and then you will see gap everywhere. The same people doing this, almost all the groups. I'm opportune to know about this because for serve the master, you must serve. You must have a group you belong to. And at times, if you ask them which group, they say, that group, they cannot. They are afraid of the leader, the way the leader is managing them and all that.
Okay.
But there are some that are also doing well because they delegate jobs.
Okay, so when there's oppression because others who want to come in are not allowed to come in. All right, so there can be oppression in that way. There's a hand at the back.
I think there can be oppression if, for example, in a church like this, you give the message that it's the Baptist way or the highway.
I don't understand. Is the Baptist way or the highway?
Yes.
Give an example.
Coming to a church, this is a Baptist church, but I'm sure not everybody that comes to this church is a Baptist.
Yeah.
I, for example, am not. But I feel possibly could happen in not just this church, but other, you know, denominational churches where they give the impression the Baptist way is the way to heaven. And, I mean, either you join the train or you jump off.
All right.
And sometimes that can make churches whereby they are not so denominational, more welcoming. For example, maybe a Pentecostal church. Okay. Where nobody asks you, are you Baptist? Are you Methodist? Are you...
All
so
right.
I feel that might be a bit oppressive to some people.
Okay. Well, when we do not accommodate others who are coming from another denomination, or when we make it a rule that until you be like us and you do what we want you to do, you are not welcome. Okay. Thank you. Any other way where we oppress?
All right. Yeah. Another way is maybe when I feel I'm richer than Mr. B and I need, like, maybe I should be considered because of my riches than Mr. B.
Okay, so when there is favoritism because of my social or my financial whatever status. Let's quickly look at the scriptures. James chapter 2 from verse 1 to 11. I want us to pay attention to James chapter 2 from verse 1 to 11 and see some of the what the Bible is telling us. James chapter 2 from verse 1 to 11. It says, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show what? Don't show favoritism. So James was talking to members of the same body of Christ. Because it is possible for us to show favoritism, to prefer one more than the other. And it happens in the church, isn't it? It happens in the church, and it's obvious to people that we prefer this one more than the other. He says, suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention, to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here is a good seat for you. But say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not done what? discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So when there is discrimination, when there is favoritism, and it can even start from when I look at you, I size you from your head to your toe. If you greet me, I don't answer you, or I answer you with my nose because you are not in my class. Does it happen in the church? You see now. So it happens. So it's happening in this church. Is it happening in this church? Thank you. I'm not the one that says it, yes, so. And you see, one day I was challenging the children in the children's. It was just one Sunday like that. And I even challenged the teenagers. I said, you don't greet. You don't greet. You don't greet. Greet. When an adult is passing, greet. You know, one of them told me, said, well, we greet and they don't answer. And I told the children, when they don't answer, greet them again. Call them. Call them. Because I didn't want to say, that's true. So I told them, so when they don't answer you, call them until they hear you. And some adults have told me that there are people that if you don't call them, they don't answer you. And some people answer you as if, how are you? Is that how we should greet our fellow brothers? Answer now. You see, these things are really not, we may say they are not important. But we also say catch for us the little foxes. The little foxes that do what? That spoil the vine. If Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you do what? If you have love one for another. So our love must start from the relationship. That when my brother comes in, I will not say, you know, when some people come, you just shift for them to sit down. But when others are coming, you look at them like this, you will not move because they are shabby. They are not in your class. So let us watch out so we don't begin to oppress one another in the church. Verse 5 says, listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom? He promised those who love him, but you have insulted the poor. That's another way. We insult them by the way we behave to them, and sometimes we insult them by the words of our mouths. Because we want to give them something in church, we talk to them anyhow. No, we shouldn't do that. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. So it means that this offense or these sins here are really very important. So we need to watch out as members of the same body of Christ that we treat others the way we want them to treat us. We should accept others, no matter who they are and how they look. Ephesians 2 verse 19. Ephesians 2 19. Ephesians 2 19. Okay. Are they oppressing me there? No, they are not. Ephesians 2:19 says, consequently, we are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow what? Citizens with God's people and members of God's. So the moment I do not see my brother as my family member, we are in the same church, then God, we are not showing that we care. And we are discriminating. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Okay, let's read this together. And build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So, what if we fail to do shows that we are oppressing? What is it that this passage is pointing our attention to? When we fail to encourage, when we pull down, and we pull another down, Can we pull one? Is it possible that as members of this same family, we pull one another down? Yes, now. When you, what you do, what's the word now? I belittle by my words, by my actions. What are they doing? What are they doing? When we don't encourage, well done, then we are not building one another up. Then we are not showing that we are members of the same body of Christ. We are not showing that we care. We are oppressing. When you talk, and I'm not saying that we cannot correct. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we cannot correct. We can correct, but let's correct in what? In love. Let us be generous with praise. That is one thing I've learned, and I keep holding on. I must be generous with praise. Everybody thrives when he is praised, when she's praised. A little child, when you praise that child, the child will want to do what? Impress you. The person that is walking, when you praise them, they will want to do more. They are encouraged. But when somebody has walked, and you just, one, you pretend as if you didn't see what that person has done. One thing I believe is, if people have put effort in anything, even if they didn't do well, shouldn't we praise them? Hello now. Shouldn't we praise them? You should praise them. If I go to the diaconate chairman and say, Dickness, what is it that you are doing? Have I encouraged them? Dickness, this thing that you are doing, you people, now you are saying you people, is that not the word we use? Hello now. I want us to talk. Don't you use the word you people? Oh, you are not following me. Don't you use the word you people? We say you people. So when you say you people, what are you saying? I'm not one of you. Now, you don't know how many calls Dickness has made today. Did we give you money for a church card? You don't know how long she stays in church for meetings. Did you know? But when you say you people, she will be happy, isn't it? Say, we people, oh, thank God we are working, we people. These are things that we do that can cause discouragement, oppression. They begin to now feel like, we are cuckoo not paid. We are not paid. And that zeal is no longer there because we have discouraged. So the Bible says, therefore, encourage one another and do what? And do what? Well done, Dickness. This is your meeting, sir. Now, wow, well done. We should not, you know, Yorubans have a proverb that when you tell somebody well done, that person will be willing to do what? To work more. So, whatever anybody is doing, the usher standing by the door, is it not working? Is it not working? It's working. So, you say, what is it doing? In fact, some of us come in, we don't even greet them. All we do is look at them from head to toe, and we go and sit down. When they tell us, come and sit in front, you frown your face like this, and you look at them. And that usher said, it will just disappear. So we must not pull down, but we must do what? Build up. These are things we do to oppress, to show the person that it doesn't matter. Now, we came in here now. It is neat, isn't it? You know one thing I see, and that is one thing I always say. If you cannot praise me, if you have not praised somebody, don't condemn. Now, this place is neat. Everywhere is neat. Nobody is saying, the sexting is well done. But when you now walk around, in fact, some people will be walking around like this. What are they looking for? Mr. Don, come. Just follow me. Follow me. When last did you clean this place? When last did you clean this place? Yes, we pay them. But what the Bible is telling us is that if they are human beings like us, we should do what? Encourage. I believe, and I say it every time, Learn to be generous with praise. Learn to, if even if that thing is, you know children, they will come home with paintings. When you give them activities, you say color. Did they color that box? They color out of the box. They use any color, isn't it? And the child is bringing it like this. Eh? Especially when they are like 2, 3, the child is bringing it. Is he very proud? Is he proud? And when he brings it to you, Pastor, what do you do? What will you say? Say, ah, beautiful, you did this. Beautiful, clap for yourself. That child will be very, very happy. But when he brings it, he says, ah, what is this? You didn't color it well. See, you colored the face, you colored the head. You are not supposed to do this. What have you done to that child? You have killed. And next time, the child will not be encouraged to do it. So let us, as much as possible, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact we are doing. So this body of Christ, they were doing it. And I thank God for people here in Ikoyi Baptist Church who are so generous with praise. Let's clap for Jesus. Let's clap for them. Let's clap for them. Let's try as much as possible. Because maybe what some people need is the generosity. These people have come to sing. When I come here, what should I do? Acknowledge them. Because if they are not here today, and I'm standing as I was singing alone, how would it have felt if I'm the only one holding microphone and nobody else is holding microphone? So everybody has a role to play, and everybody is important. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Galatians 6 verse 10. Galatians 6 verse 10. Galatians 6 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do what? Do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. When brothers are the ones who are causing the downfall of brothers, is that good? It shouldn't happen in the body of Christ. Let's quickly go to the third question. It says, in what ways are the less privileged oppressing the privileged in the body of Christ? So that we are fair, isn't it? Are we not being fair? On Sunday, we're looking at the rich, and we're still looking at how the rich oppress the poor. Do the poor oppress the rich? Hello, do the poor oppress the rich? What are the things they do to oppress the rich? Let's talk.
When they need our help, we refuse to help them.
So when the rich need the help of the poor, yeah, and the poor just refuse to help, okay. All right.
Or we demand they pay us before we help.
Now let's come to the church now. Okay. Let's be specific in the body of Christ. In what ways? Because there are people in the body of Christ who are not as blessed as others. And many of us, or some of us, have had experiences of them maybe harassing us or oppressing us. How? Before we check the Bible. Abayom.
The poor oppress the rich in this way. Sometimes that when we don't know the person, and then we look down on that woman or that man because I didn't see him or her near his car. Because then it's until when I saw the person near his car and I saw what he's driving, it's only then that I respected.
Maybe I
didn't give a good respect. Maybe looking down
a person because of the way they appear.
Exactly, okay. Yes. I don't know who he is. So okay. We oppress.
Okay. Auntie Lami.
Another way that the poor oppress the rich is they will want something from you, from the rich person. And at times the rich person doesn't actually have that. And then before you know it, they go about castigating, talking bad things about the person. Okay. At times they forget that the rich also cry.
Yeah.
So they believe you should give them because they believe you are rich.
So when they think that, actually some of them think that you owe them. You owe them. Somebody will say, is it not because of the poor that the Lord created the rich? Somebody says so. Not a member of this church, but somebody I know. So they think that you owe them. So when they're asking you, they are asking you as if you have no choice. So, and every time they see you, they are still asking you. They don't know that sometimes, some days you drive your car, but you don't have 1,000 naira. Has it ever happened to any of us here? I'm not rich, but there are days that home and abroad, I don't have 10 naira. But I just thank God that I have fuel in my car. So without, I trust the Lord. But they think that because you can drive this car and you look nice, you must have money and you must give them. That's one way. What's another way? Brother Adewusu. Oh, okay.
I think I've noticed situations in this church where some people, I don't know whether they want to call it an inferiority complex, but there are some people who, when they are doing functions, don't invite the so-called higher mighty because they believe they are snotty and they won't come anyway. They are assuming they won't come. So they don't invite them. And some may even go up to them and say, ah, well, I heard so-so-so thing happened in your family. Congratulations. We didn't get an invitation. You probably would have come anyway if we invited you.
Okay. I didn't know that. All right. So that's another way.
Another way that the poor oppress the rich is when they see, especially when they you just helped them once, twice, three times, they take advantage of that and keep coming and play on your emotions, put you on a guilt trip, tell you how difficult things are for them and how you must help them, you know, and you begin to feel guilty that, ah, this person is, if I don't help this person, you know, it will not be good. I'll be committing a sin or something. Yeah. But the poor don't only oppress the rich. They also oppress themselves, the poor. So the poor oppress the poor sometimes,
of course,
as well.
All right, so, I mean, how many of us have had that kind of experience where they're always asking? They're always asking. And there are some, you know, they say beggars have no choice. There are some beggars that have choices, so they will tell you what they want and how they want it and where they want it. So they will just make your life so terrible. Let's quickly see what the Bible says. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8. It says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do we have some people who think their responsibility is your responsibility? Who think you are the one that must care for their family? Who are not coming, who are not willing to work? And you are saying, come and do this work. They are telling you, ah, I can't do that kind of job. Do you have people like that? Yet they want to collect money from you. You say, okay, you can start as a cleaner. Say, ah, God forbid, how can you say I should be a cleaner? Is it not work? People go to America and they are cleaning things. They are even cleaning people. They are cleaning corpses. Isn't it? In cold, serious one. They are doing gate man 2 a.m. outside. And they are going to school. Is it not work? But when we now come to, there are people who should be sweeping this church, and we will be paying them. But they will say, ah, how will they hold me? Be sweeping the church. Is it a crime to sweep the church? Is it a crime to? I don't think there's any job that should be, as long as you are not stealing, as long as you can provide for yourself and provide for your family and put food on your table, you must be willing to do anything. But when people begin to think that they must get a white-collar job, they must work in an office, that's one form of oppression. So they are after you, wanting you to help them. And there are some people, they also oppress that you give them jobs. You help them find a job doing it. They are not going to work. So every day you are calling them. You are paying them salary, but they are not working. So when you now refuse to pay them salary, what will happen? Everybody will hear. Is it not happening? And that is when you see the rich who will say, I'm not sure I want to help people. I don't want anybody to. And when you see someone who is a businessman and who has employed a member of the church, and because the person is not up and doing, he sacks him. And you say, they told me to leave. Don't mind them. That's how they do. And they call themselves Christians. And some of us will not hear the other person's side. We say, you see, they are the ones that will be in front, though. That will be preaching. That will be teaching Sunday school. And people cannot work with them. Have you asked that man what he did? So the Bible wants us to be fair. Our responsibility is to take care of our family. We shouldn't make our family the responsibility of the church. But there are people who do that. Proverbs 12 verse 11. Proverbs 12 verse 11. Proverbs 12 verse 11. So the Bible says, he who walks his land, we have what? Abundant food. But he who chases fantasies lacks what? Judgment. Are there people who chase fantasies? Do you know there are some people, they don't have any office. They don't have anywhere. But they want to be dressed in suit Monday to Friday. They want to use phone, 150,000. Don't we have them? Phone, 150,000. Meanwhile, they are not earning any salary. They are depending on those who are working or who are retired to be their bank, to be their ATM. How about those that you call because they are members of the church to help, to work for you? To work, maybe repair this, repair that, and they don't do it. Have you had that experience? They don't do it, oh. Sometimes you have paid them. You have paid them, you are calling them. Come and finish this work. Come and finish this work. They are not coming. Or if you have not paid them, what are they telling you? I work for her, she didn't give me money. I work for her, she didn't. But she won't, he or she will not say, I didn't finish that work. So these are the ways that the poor also oppress rich. Matthew 25 verse 29. That's Matthew 25 verse 29. For everyone who has will be given more. Uh-huh. And he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. If you read that passage, it was talking about the rich man that gave talents to people and one didn't use it. And say, I know you will do this. You say, why didn't you put my money in the bank so that it will yield interest? So there are people that they're supposed to work. You have given them responsibilities, but they fail to work. And they want to make you feel guilty. So I think we need to balance it so that we will not be feeling guilty when we take our stand sometimes. You know, sometimes we need to take our stand. If you are coming to ask me for money, I won't give you. I'm not going to give you. No matter what you do, I won't give you. You go and walk. Nothing is wrong with you. You have the two hands. You have the two legs. Those who don't even have hands are walking. Don't you see them? They are walking. Uh-huh. So we shouldn't condone laziness in the church. We have some other passages, but I'm looking at time. But let us just write these passages down so that we can read them at home. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2. The Bible says we should carry each other's and fulfill the law of Christ. So we should care for others and carry each other's burden. Matthew 5:42. Bible says if anybody needs money and even wants to borrow, we should lend him if we can. Philippians 2:4 says we should look out for the interest of others. Proverbs 3:27 says we should do good to all people when we can. And Proverbs 19:17 said we should be kind to the poor because when we lend to them, we are lending to the Lord. Romans 12:13 encourages us to share with one another. And James 2:14-17 says we should take care of people's needs. And we don't just tell them, it is well with you. Whatever need that we know are genuine, we should take care of those needs. And 1 Timothy 5:18 says we should not muzzle an ox that is treading the wheat because the laborer deserves his wages. So what God is telling us is as Christians, we must be fair to all. We must look out for the good of others. And we must know that even in the Ten Commandments, you know, if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first five talk about our relationship with God, isn't it? And then the last five talks about our relationship with fellow men. You shall not steal, you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery. This, you know, these are the ways the Lord expects us to deal and relate with one another. I pray that the Lord, through His power, the power of His Holy Spirit, will help us to watch out and look out for others who are around us, especially members of the same body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.